to the JockX Podcast, episode 27. And I am stoked to bring the guest on today's show, Natasha Sciotto. Now, Natasha is from Healthy You, Happy Me, where she is a wellness and holistic lifestyle coach. And she basically helps women in particular creating the life that they really want, one where they can live well from the inside and out and feel good throughout the entire process. And I was stoked just to catch up with her and really, you know, pick her brain, be really curious about how she goes about this, how she goes about coaching people to achieve more and really achieve what they want. Now, for guys too, don't worry, this is really insightful for us as well, listening in, because the exact same principles apply across the board. Natasha just focuses on women, but I am stoked to have her on the show, and there's so much, you know, gold nuggets here for all of us to take on board and really, you know, take your game to the next level. So guys, thanks for that. And I really want to do a shout out to all the listeners, previous episodes, in particular you guys listening to this one right now, and for all the sharing you're doing. It's been incredible. Thank you. And, you know, telling your mates and telling your family and friends all about this podcast to, you know, really spread the word, because, you know, it's free, it's for you guys, it's for everyone out there who really wants to take the game to the next level. I'm bringing the best guests I can get, insight from a whole range of different angles to really lift you up. So I'm stoked to have Tash on the show with her wellness and holistic lifestyle expertise and bring that for you. So, yeah, really making some noise for this one. Yeah, basically just giving a shout out for her would be great by you guys. Let her know that you love this and really pass on the word. So thank you for that. So guys, sit back and enjoy this one. It's about 40, 45 minutes or so of absolute gold. Really enjoy the JockX Podcast with myself, James O'Connor, and Natasha Sciotto.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Exciting. You're down from Brisbane.
Brisbane, yes.
Down to the... Well, actually, we put on the sunshine for you out here in Kew in Melbourne. So
certainly have.
Absolutely. So I'm excited to have you on. And obviously, you come down, so we're doing it live, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'd love to start off with a bit about your background and sort of what you're doing now and where you sort of come from.
Yeah, absolutely. So I first... My interest in health and wellness has been there from a very young age. I went to uni and studied a Bachelor of Health Science, so I really was struggling to pinpoint which area of wellness I wanted to, I guess, you know, use as a career. And I'd always been interested in nutrition and dietetics, so I did I ended up majoring in nutrition and psychology because I knew that both of those combined are really important to help people with their overall wellness. So as I moved along with my course, I really enjoyed it. I got to a point towards the end that I knew I was sort of more leaning towards the psychology path. And then I actually didn't get the marks to go on to do honours for psychology, and that really shattered me. And it really it put me to this point where I had to question about what I was doing moving forward, and it kind of was a bit of a blow to the confidence. And so I looked at different areas of health, and I did. I ended up enrolling in a Master's of Social Work, and I did enjoy that, but I knew deep down inside that it wasn't, you know, what I truly wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to help people. I just wanted to really, you know, I'm such a people person, so I wanted to be able to be in that environment where I was able to, you know, have that one-on-one interaction with people and really make that difference in their lives. So it was after my Master's of Social Work, I was 1 year in, and I just thought, you know what, I'm going to have to put this on hold because this isn't actually, you know, 100% where my heart lies. And throughout my university degree, I actually had the chance to do a subject called, I think it was called changing behavior, or was around, you know, that whole behavior change model. And it gave me that introduction to life coaching. And I thought, this is brilliant. Like, this is exactly the way that I want to help people. It was in that really positive and inspiring way. And it was very practical as well. And I loved that, because I think it's one thing learning all of these things in theories and at uni and reading textbook after textbook. And I was thinking to myself, but how does this actually translate in real life? Yeah. And I think that that subject kind of gave me that little bit of, I guess, a taste of, you know, that whole life coaching industry. But I kind of just put it in the too hard basket. I was like, do you know what? How am I going to find a job as a life coach? And, you know, who would even go see a life coach? All of those things just went through my brain. So I kind of just put it in the too hard basket. But then it was after I'd sort of put the Masters of Social Work on hold that I realized that I have to explore this avenue. I can't keep, you know, feeling dissatisfied with this whole normal, or not normal, well, I guess this conventional way of helping people through this career path. And I had to really, yeah, look into it more deeper and think, okay, you've got to just go for it and, yeah, really explore that. So I did my own coaching series with who happened to be the CEO of the coaching course that I ended up going through, Beautiful You Coaching Academy. So her name's Julie Parker, and it was just absolutely brilliant to have that experience coaching with her. And it really gave me that confidence to say, do you know what? You only do live once, and... Yeah. The only way to really explore this avenue is to go for it and study life coaching. And so that's what I did. I discontinued my Masters of Social Work. I put a bow on it, even though I felt like a big fat failure. I was thinking, oh my goodness, I haven't finished this Masters of Social Work. But I thought, no, I really need to follow my heart. And yeah, that's when I did the coaching course, and it's just been the most, I would say, life-changing experience, because it really teamed up all of those things that I knew inside of me, my skills, my talents, and the way that I wanted to help people in the world. It was a really great way to, I guess, show up for myself. And so ever since I finished my course, I've started up my website. I had the website, Healthy You, Happy Me. I started blogging about maybe 12 months before I'd started the actual course, and I've really enjoyed, blogging, and I guess helping people to, I guess, just that inspiration and motivation to really look at, you know, different areas of their lives to incorporate more health and happiness. And really love interacting and engaging with people.
Yeah.
So I've had that website for, you know, almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
And really enjoying, connecting with people in that way, and also coaching young women to really, I guess, create that vibrant life for themselves. So
yeah.
That's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Fantastic. Going forward with your sort of vision for yourself and for your business, what do you really hope to achieve sort of coming over the next sort of 5 years, and who are you sort of really targeting to, you know, connect with and really improve their lives?
Yeah, so it's definitely young women for me. I think those women that were in that space where I was, you know, a couple of years ago, that were really just unsure. They kind of knew that there was something inside of them that wanted to do more or be more or, you know, have that satisfaction and fulfillment in their lives. But are just sort of really on that edge and are a little bit fearful and just, I guess a little bit scared of, you know, what does that mean? Does it mean I have to really step outside of my comfort zone? Does it mean my life is going to completely turn upside down? It's really just, I guess, helping women to navigate those big changes that they want for themselves, whether it be for their career, for their health, or even their creativity. So I'd love to be, you know, working with women, you know, helping them sort of create that life and live out their full potential. So that's what I love to do. And I guess we spoke briefly before we started recording about perhaps even starting up some videos and doing some filming with another friend of mine who I met through the coaching course. It's amazing the people that you meet when you flock all these like-minded people together. And we'd love to just create, I guess, an environment where people can feel really comfortable, not take themselves so seriously, because I think obviously life can feel a little bit heavy sometimes. And just make light of a few things. And I guess the whole personal development world can be a little bit like you're delving into this deep hole, and you're thinking, when am I ever going to reach the golden ticket? When am I ever going to feel like this deep sense of happiness? And it's like, well, you actually just find it in the everyday and in the little things. And it's those sort of things that I think will be great to move forward. And I can really envision myself, reaching people on a much larger scale through video and through, Yeah, workshops, all sorts of different things. I think it's just, yeah, bringing those people together and knowing that they're not alone and that there's people out there that are feeling the same way and, yeah, that there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, for sure. I like that. And I think before you said that you and your partner in crime are going to be a bit of a female version of Hamish and Andy.
Yeah,
I kind of like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm a massive fan of them.
Yeah. Like, we just want to have some fun. And I think, yeah, because...
Maybe a Hamish and Andy meet Oprah type.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. That's exactly what it's going to be like. Just really... I think just making fun of, you know, some of the stuff that you kind of see that people tend to get a little bit serious about. The whole superfood thing.
Yeah.
You know, just
about... It's a craze,
about, like,
I have to say.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. There's so many different things. So, yeah, I'll be really excited to launch that with... Her name's Liz, so...
Awesome.
Yeah, so stay tuned for the Liz and Tash show.
Yeah, absolutely. Hitting airwaves very soon.
Yep.
I think it's really cool because we sort of talked about giving in your area, particularly females and women, sort of empowering themselves through this time of change in young women. I think as obviously a guy coming through through your 20s in particular, I think people in general, it's such a time, like a lot of people move out of home when they're obviously 18 for the first time. They go to university a lot of the time. First job, you know, you're getting engaged in your case as well this week.
Yes.
And all those sorts of things happening. It's a real big time of change, and I think with your sort of work, it'd be amazing for people to have that bit more of a structure around that or a bit more of guidance.
Yeah.
Because it is, I think, such a new time for everyone going through.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's one of those things where we kind of feel like we need to have it all figured out, but we actually don't. Like, I don't think anyone ever feels like they've had it all figured out. But for some reason, we grow up thinking that we need to know what we're going to do for the rest of our lives as soon as we finish high school or even uni. And
well, back to you when you're 16. Like, 16, they go, what are you going to do subjects-wise? You're 11, you're 12.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there thinking, I'm making big decisions right now. And you sort of feel that pressure.
Yeah. And I think it's... We sort of forget that it's okay to change our mind. And it's more than okay to... you know, veer off this path that you originally envisioned for yourself and find out a way for it to actually feel good. Because so often we think, I remember just with uni, you know, thinking, okay, as soon as I finish uni, like, everything's going to fall into place. Like, I'm going to find the job. I'm going to, you know, yeah, have that long-term relationship. I'm going to settle down, all of those things. And yeah, you kind of get to that point where you hang on, is this actually feeling good anymore?
Mm.
So it's really about, you know, not getting so caught up in that end result and what it looks like, but really focusing on how is this making me feel. And if it's not feeling good, then knowing that you can change direction, knowing that you can, you know, you have the power to do that for yourself and figure out, okay, what is it that I need to do moving forward that's going to make me feel really happy and healthy. And yeah
for sure. I think really sort of obviously following your passions is a key of yours and really a key part of what you're doing. What would be some of the key things or key steps you could take in becoming aware of what you really enjoy and then pursuing those?
Yeah, I think it all starts with experimenting. So I remember even just in the wellness world, you got taught so many different things at uni, like, you know, don't eat this or eat this and, you know, you should avoid this. But at the end of the day, we kind of have to figure that out for ourselves, and the only way to do that is to experiment. So I think it's really just experimenting with all sorts of different things. So following those things that you do enjoy. So whether it be, you know, eating the foods that you enjoy, obviously in moderation.
Yes.
But, you know, really just following and asking yourself, do I feel good after I eat this? Do I feel good after the end of my work day?
Mm.
Just really being conscious and more aware of how you are feeling in your day-to-day life. So it's, again, it's all sorts of those different things. It's not just your career and what you eat and how you move.
Mm.
It's your relationships. It's, you know, do you feel creatively fulfilled? Is there a side of you that you feel you're not really showing up as your true and full self? So I think it's just bringing that awareness and asking yourself those hard questions and really thinking to yourself, am I actually enjoying where I am right now?
Yeah.
And knowing that it's okay to experiment with that. So I think, yeah, it's really about that first step of experimentation. And then I think with experimenting, that's when you can get really clear.
Yeah.
And that's when you figure out, okay, well, I know that this has worked for me in the past and, you know, I'll stick with something like that rather than following this, that person said that was really good for them. Well, that's them.
Yeah.
And you've got to be really trusting of yourself and I think really acknowledge that you are the expert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like that in terms of you are the expert, you're in control of what you do, and like we're discussing pre-recording, is sort of you have the power. You don't have the power to change what happens to you, but you have the power to change how you react to different things.
Yeah.
What would be your sort of keys to really improving yourself in that sort of self-power and really being more stronger, I guess, and courageous in the way you want to be, how you want to live, and not follow just the beaten path?
Yeah, well, it's a really good question. I think it's hard to say, you know, again, like follow this or do this, but it really does come back to that whole trust. And yes, of course, there's people, you know, that we look up to for advice, or people that, you know, within our society that, you know, usually we do follow for, you know, guidance. So whether it be our parents, our, you know, mentors, or people, you know, within those industries where we might work. But it's really asking ourselves, you know, whether we have enough trust in ourselves to move forward with whatever we want to achieve. And I think it comes back to that self-belief. And I think if there's one thing that we could all have, it's just that belief in ourselves and knowing that we really can achieve whatever we want to. It's just that sometimes our minds can convince ourselves otherwise. And don't listen to everything that our mind tells you, because there is that, I guess, part of your brain that is the ego, that is that part in your mind that's just keeping you safe.
Yes.
And it's not always rational. It's just that, again, just keeping yourself in that comfort zone. So when you can really ask yourself, are these thoughts true and real, you can kind of go, hang on a second, maybe I am just talking shit.
Yeah.
maybe I am sort of getting caught up in this spiral, and I can actually step outside of that and look at it from this bird's eye view and realize that, hang on a second, like, I am, you know, much better than I think I am, or maybe I have done that in the past and I can succeed with this. And it's just bringing back that positive self-talk and that self-belief and trust and knowing that you do have everything inside of you to make things happen.
Yeah, so I guess obviously key is getting that self-belief really strong, that self belief, I guess, muscle in a way, sort of working on and building it up. So you can sort of become, obviously, just said then, and being aware of what you're saying to yourself and sort of, you know, sort of, I guess, rebutting some of the things you might say negatively about yourself. Is there anything else you could do for listeners to this podcast, and how they could improve that muscle, improve themselves in self-belief, improve the trust they have in their own judgment and following what they want to do?
Yeah, I think one great way where I've been able to discover that part of myself is just a journal, like journaling my thoughts and actually realizing that some things that I do tell myself aren't true, and coming back to that whole, is this really just keeping me safe? So the journaling is a really great way where you can just freeform write everything that, you know, might be in your head. And it's amazing what pen and paper can do, because we often can just make mountains or, you know, molehills, whatever the saying goes, in our heads. But when we put it onto paper, we go, oh, hang on, it's actually out of my head and onto paper. And you realise that it is separate from you.
Yeah.
So I guess that is one really good tip that I would pass on to listeners, to really sort of, I guess, tap into that awareness.
Yeah.
And then, you know, how can you turn that talk into, I guess, a more positive channel?
Mm.
It's like that whole radio radio analogy of, you know, if you don't like the station, you can change the channel.
Yeah,
you can always change it to a different song that's so much better than the one you're listening to. So, yeah, I think it's really just that awareness and coming back to that, oh, okay, I can actually, how can I flip this into something way more positive for myself?
I like your journal. I think that's a really key technique to improving yourself in this area. What's your strategy? Do you write every day or do you write first in the morning? What's your strategy and what would you recommend for people to maybe start in this way and start using this strategy?
Yeah, there's so many different things and I think it's something that I don't do every day.
Yep.
I might have weeks where I do journal every day, but I've kept to journal like since I was 14. So it's something that I guess has always been a way for me to make sense of the world and just to make sense of myself. And again, just separating that part of, you know, my mind to, you know, sort out those feelings that are going on. So it's not something I necessarily do every day. I think it's that really intuitive thing where if you feel like there's something going on inside of you that you know, okay, things aren't, you know, things aren't meshing well with me. It's just, okay, pen to paper, like just get it down, get it out. So I would probably recommend, you know, trying just 5-10 minutes in the morning. I'm not sure if you've heard of Julia Cameron.
I haven't, no.
Yeah, she she's got a book called The Artist's Way and she recommends for people to do morning pages.
Yeah.
So it could be, I think, she says she advises three, four pages for about 30 minutes in the morning. And it's just a way of like clearing that channel and creating that space where you can go, okay, everything's out onto paper. I can go ahead with my day and feel like I am putting my best foot forward. So none of those negative thoughts are circulating. It's like, okay, they're on the paper. I can know that, you know, whatever's there is there and I can let it go.
Yep.
But another great thing is meditation. I'm not sure if you meditate a lot.
I've got into that over the last few months. I'm loving it. Yeah, absolutely.
And again, it's knowing that it's not something that you have to do every single day. Like, obviously, it's great if you do, but knowing that, again, it comes back to that experimentation and knowing, okay, what do I feel like doing today? If I don't really feel like writing, maybe I'll try meditating for 5 minutes. And it could just be taking 5 deep breaths in the morning. It could be, you know, having a shower and just being really conscious of the water, like trickling down. Just all of those things of just being mindful and being present and, you know, not getting caught up in that real, oh my goodness, like this busy, buzzed lifestyle where we're just going from one thing to the other. So it's those sort of things that help bring back that awareness to our thoughts.
Yeah, I'd love just on meditation there. I might myself actually, I got on just to the Headspace app, which is really simple, really easy to use. I've been using it for 3 or 4 months now. And it's been great. Is there any other ones you would recommend or people just beginning out in this? Because I'm finding really find it beneficial. I get up quite reasonably early and do it for 10-15 minutes and then I go for my run from there, and it's a really, I find probably the biggest thing I've got is sort of awareness and sort of just sort of centering you and giving you better focus, energy and probably clarity, and so it's obviously so much from it for 10 minutes a day.
Absolutely.
What would your recommendations be in this space, and where to go to find a good app or whatever it needs to be?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of different resources that I use and they really vary. So some are, you know, more spiritual, some are more practical. There is, I'm not sure if you've heard of Deepak Chopra. He runs a 21-day meditation, I guess, program for free.
Yep.
And he teams up with Oprah actually, and they run, I think it's almost once a month, they run, you know, with a different focus in mind. So it might be gratitude, it might be success, or it might be self-love. So kind of have themes, and they are guided meditations. So there is someone actually, you know, talking you through and focusing on that breath, focusing on different, different topics that you can kind of become a bit more centered within yourself. So they're really great because they do kind of guide you, and I think it's really important for those people that are really busy and that find it really difficult to sit still. I know I'm kind of one of those people.
Yeah, join the club.
Yeah, that are just like, yep, go. Yep. So you kind of almost need someone to kind of guide you through that process. So definitely check out Deepak. I also know a brilliant friend of mine. Her name's Tali. She has a business called Sonosense, and she creates Meditones. So they are specific, I guess, it's specific music that can alter your brainwaves. So instead of it being about focusing on your breath or focusing on, I guess, a certain topic, it's effortless meditation because it's actually impacting the brainwaves and how we operate day to day. So you could just simply put in your headphones and...
So you're listening to her, obviously. Is it music or what is it?
Yeah, so it's music. And because the different music has different levels of... Yeah, I'm probably not explaining it in a very succinct way, but... yeah, definitely check her out, Sonosense Tali, and they're called Meditones. So I think we have different brainwaves like alpha, you know, delta, beta. And depending on, I guess, the sound waves or the way that music is, I guess, coming through our headphones or through, because you definitely have to wear headphones for this particular type of meditation.
Your Dre beats on.
Get it going on. But yeah, so it actually alters the brainwave, so that it is that effortless meditation. So you can find that peace because it's that part of your brain that is, you know, it's creating that sort of space within your mind, that, you know, sense of peace, that deep relaxation, and that's where that whole effortless aspect comes into play. So she's very clever. She did a course, and she definitely there's a, I guess, a science and an art to it. So it's amazing the way meditation is moving, and there's so many different avenues. Yeah, absolutely. So I definitely recommend those.
Sort of across, I guess, the globe in a way, who are the sort of two or three people that you really idolize and really mentor in a way, also our mentors for you, and why is that?
Yeah, so as soon as you ask me that, there's three people that come to mind. I absolutely adore Marie Forleo.
I love her too. Yeah,
she is just brilliant. I love that she's so heartfelt, she's hilarious. So she's an entrepreneur and she's all about creating businesses and lives that you absolutely love. And
did she create the B-School?
She created B-School. So I haven't actually done B-School myself, but I just love her. She creates videos every week and they're really entertaining, but yet I always get some really great light bulb moments from her. And she just has this really great way to just simplify things for you. Often we feel like things should be so much more complicated than they really are, but she really breaks it down. And to see how she first started, I think she started off on like Wall Street or something, doing something completely different. And she really just followed her passion, followed her heart, and really utilized her skills and talents and wanted to be, you know, wanted to create something that was also true to her personality, you know, being, you know, hilarious and heartfelt. And so she's someone that I really idolize because she's been able to work so hard and she's got such great success.
She's on Oprah. I watched an interview with her with Tony Robbins, so I really loved that one, and she's a star.
Yeah, so I remember I was in New York just in June and I was just hoping that I would just... you know, perhaps just bump into her at the cafe and be like, yo, Marie.
I'll definitely get an autograph, I reckon, if I saw her. That's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, so she's definitely one of them. I'm not sure if you've heard of Danielle Laporte.
I haven't, actually, no.
Oh, absolutely adore her. She has created a book called The Desire Map.
Yep.
And she's completely switched goal setting on its head. So instead of, I guess, setting goals and thinking that we want to achieve this certain tangible thing, she kind of creates this, I guess, way of goal setting in that we tap into how we actually want to feel instead of focusing on that end result. So instead of thinking, okay, I want to lose 10 kilos, it's like, well, what will 10 kilos by achieving, you know, that weight loss, how is that actually going to make me feel? So is it really more about feeling energized? And then if the end result is really feeling energized, then there are probably so many other ways that you can achieve that goal. So it's not so much just about weight loss. It's about so many other things. It could be, who makes me feel energized? Who are the people that I'm spending time with?
Yeah.
Who, you know, how how am I spending my time? Is that going to make me feel energized? So it's really about tapping into how you really want to feel, and then following through with, okay, what am I going to do that's going to make me feel that way? So her work is just absolutely mind-blowing, powerful, and I think that's the sort of stuff that I think people really need to hear, because so often we want to achieve something and then we get there and we're like, this actually isn't as great as I thought it was. Isn't and it's because we're not connected to that feeling behind it.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. I think we are a goal-obsessed world. We want to set something, achieve it, climb that mountain, run that racing time, you know, get that car, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I think it's goals. It started probably back a shift for me, particularly back with episode 7, actually, on this podcast with Mark Dobson. And he talked a lot about goals are just sort of down the chain a bit on what you sort of want to achieve. And he talks about a lot about identity and vision above that. Mm-hmm. And then goals are just in line with what you want to be about. And I guess that sort of relates to this lady on terms of what she's feeling she wants again. That's probably another step further again. Which is cool because, goals, you sort of, once you achieve them, if that was the be all and end all, you hear a lot about it, getting stuck in the rut once you've sort of ran that world record or whatever you're doing. It's cool. So
they're two really, really big idols of mine. And another one I'd have to say is Julie Parker, who has created the Beautiful You Coaching Academy. She actually did start off as a social worker, and she's just built this really beautiful community of life coaches, especially in Australia. I think the coaching world is very dominant in the US and overseas, and she's really created this beautiful space for women to really step up and I think showcase their talents and create that path and know that they can be successful businesswomen as well as really heartfelt and heart-centered people in the helping profession. I think it's hard to get that balance for women. People think that you either have to just be really giving and you shouldn't charge this much money for this, but it's okay to have both and
value your time.
Absolutely. So she's been another really big mentor, just to know that as women we deserve to and same with Marie Folio, she's very much about this. It's like, it's okay to get paid for doing something that you absolutely love.
Yeah.
And you're doing a disservice to the world if you don't actually follow through with that, because people aren't getting you at your best.
Yep. Love that. I'd like to talk a little bit about sort of a bit nutrition and a bit actually sort of what how that impacts your performance, I guess, and how you, and your well-being and overall wellness. How much importance do you place on what you eat and what your drinking habits are like and what you fuel your body with?
Yeah, I definitely think it plays a really big role in that holistic sense of our life and our balance. And I remember speaking to you previously about this, and I think it's with anything. If you're not really fueling your body with the right things, and it's not necessarily the right things, but the right things for you and figuring out what does feel good for you, you're obviously going to be able to perform better within your day-to-day job. You're going to have more energy for that. You're going to have more energy for your relationships as well.
Yep.
So it really does play a big impact in all those different areas of our lives. So I think for me, I try to avoid, I guess, telling people this is the way you should eat, or this is the diet, or this is the, the golden rule for this. I think it's coming back to that experimenting, and that's pretty much what I did after uni. I guess I had all this knowledge, and I thought, but really, what is it that works for me? And so that's when I started to really play with some of those, I guess, diets that were out there. Well, I won't say diets, I'll say more like eating lifestyles. But I quit sugar, I tried paleo, I tried gluten-free, and it wasn't necessarily out of I need to restrict and do this for weight loss or for any of those reasons. It was just more about that, how can my body perform the best that it can? And it was from that place of curiosity. And that curiosity to think, am I really being my best here, and am I giving myself the best possible opportunity to perform in all different areas of my life through nutrition and through movement and all of those things. So that was a really great way for me to figure out what felt good. And I think if we restrict ourselves to a certain way of eating, often we think that that's the only way that we can move forward. But I think we're evolving all of the time. So it's that constant check-in with ourselves. You know, it's okay to eat cake. Like, it's okay. But just knowing that, okay, how do I feel after I eat that cake? And knowing, okay, that's a sometimes food. And it's just really coming back to that experimentation and knowing that once you figure out those foods and that way of life that feels good for you, then you can go on to really perform and be at your full potential.
Well, even like you just said before with goal setting and how you want to feel, I guess you could really apply that a lot to what you're eating. And and if you sort of want to feel good about yourself, then maybe McDonald's isn't that right food for you at that particular point. Or it might be. It might be, depending on sort of what you want to do. So it is kind of interesting. It's actually a big shift I've sort of personally made over the last few months too. It's sort of really, I sort of like to think I went from like a 6 out of 10 to probably like an 8 out of 10 now, I reckon. And I'm probably happy where I'm at now in terms of how I'm eating, just through lifestyle changes. It's never about a diet. That has a beginning and an end. And I just want to prolong this forever, in a way, or get better in that area. So it's, I definitely am a bit like yourself. It's all about performance. Like, how can you perform at your best? And, you know, I've stopped on alcohol. I don't drink alcohol anymore. And, well, for the time, to the end of the year at least, I've sort of set myself. And it's interesting how that impacts your performance. And, but yet, I'm not saying I'll not ever drink it again, but it's just interesting. I think it starts with how you want to feel and what you want to achieve, and going from there.
Yeah, I love that, especially with the alcohol, because we are so, we're in that lifestyle in Australia here where it's kind of expected that, you know, you go out like to have a good time, you have a drink. But as, when you are focusing on how you want to feel, well, if you want to feel good about the people that you spend time with and how you, you know, show up in the world, then maybe you don't need that drink. Or maybe I do feel much better on a Sunday morning when I'm feeling so refreshed and I'm not foggy headed and I can make the most of my day. So you're so right. It's really about, it will evolve. Like, you might decide later on, hey, I might have a drink with, you know, some friends. I want to celebrate. But then, knowing that you're feeling really good about that decision right now and, just going with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's sort of empowering for me in a way, because it's sort of, you know, you are expected to have those drinks, and therefore when you say no, I sort of feel like it's good sort of just way to say you stand and be however you want to be. But more importantly, because of the sort of the workload, I sort of find, you know, with your day-to-day life and what you want to achieve through, whether it be podcasts, through my business and stuff, it's a bit like I need to be at my best nearly every day. I can't, if I went out drinking, partying last night, there's no way I'd be sitting here now on a Saturday at my best with you, and which is what I want to do, is bring 100%, and I don't want to rock up at 80.
Absolutely.
So so that's basically what I would just say in terms of health and in terms of food and intake of what you're giving your body.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it does just come back to that whole performance, and I guess another word for it is just that overall holistic sense of wellness, and you know, finding out how am I going to live well day to day, and what decisions do I need to make that do feel good for me to live out that wellness and create my own version of healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we're coming towards the end of the interview, Tash. This has been awesome. We could talk about this forever. There's actually some things we've mentioned. I'm like, I won't go down that that because we'll be there for hours. But I'd sort of like to ask a few more questions on, if you could let listeners or direct them to three books three books that you think are like must reads that are going to really help them take their game to a new level in wellness and holistic health and overall achieving their goals, what would be three you would recommend?
Yeah, well, number one would definitely be The Desire Map from Danielle Laporte. You must get that. I think it's really, it really just shift our perspective on goal setting, and she creates different avenues where, I guess, for career or for creativity or for community or for our wellness, you know, by breaking those things down, it's like, how do I want to feel in each of those areas? So that's a really great read that I think could benefit anyone, because it's getting back to that, yeah, that feeling of, am I really achieving what I want to, and am I really feeling the way I want to when I achieve that? So definitely recommend that. I read a brilliant book called Playing Big by Tara Moore. She kind of covers a lot of different areas for women, particularly about how we often can play small and, I guess, follow that good girl persona of I must follow these rules and I shouldn't ruffle anyone's feathers and I need to follow this path of success. And she teaches us all about fear and different ways that playing small can show up in our lives and how we can really play down on our skills and let that fear take over. So she has some really great strategies in her book that help us to play bigger and to really step up and know that it's okay to shine and not be afraid of that. And I think sometimes we get a little bit, I guess we get a little bit self-conscious of bringing that attention to ourselves, or even just to, even when we accomplish something, I think sometimes we're even afraid of success. And she kind of really, again, focuses on that whole, it's okay to shine, it's okay to play big, and really gives women permission in her book. So I'd highly recommend that.
I think also in that, just on that, it is a big thing in Australia really too. I think we have listeners across Europe and the States and this on this podcast, and in Australia in particular, it is that tall poppy syndrome. And if you are standing out and doing something different, achieving something that other people aren't achieving, it is, you do get that criticism. And it's a shame. I would love to change that in the culture of Australia and get a bit more behind people who do achieve more and do something different and more high fives, I guess, all around.
Yeah, celebrate. Like, I think, you know, they're celebrating each other's success. That's the thing that it filters out, and the more permission we give each other to step up, then the more other people will feel like it's okay.
Absolutely.
And really reach their potential.
Yeah, for sure.
So they're the two. And then the third one, I'm hoping you've read this book, The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks.
I haven't. I'm going to have to get onto these.
It's all about leaping big. Wow. It's really about leaping big. That book blew my mind. Again, it's all about that mindset and really stepping outside of that comfort zone that we, I guess, are just in that day-to-day thinking that, oh, that could never happen to me, or... He sort of goes into detail about when we do reach a level of success, we almost sabotage it. And we think, well, if I get to this point, then, well, that means that my career will crumble. Or if I have a really great love life, then that means that I can't be, you know, really well, and means that I can't fit into those awesome jeans and I'm going to put on weight. So he really breaks it all down in terms of the whole mindset about how we can just continue to keep stepping up for ourselves and overcome those mind shifts in our own head that convinces us that we can't have all the things that we do truly desire and truly want. So he goes into detail about, I guess, the whole love, abundance and success. So he really focuses on those key areas that we can actually have all three. And I think you do see it a lot in, I guess, Hollywood. Like, you hear about all these marriage breakdowns, like they get this to this really incredible level of success, but it's like they can't handle it, and they go, something needs to stop up here, and then that's where the spiral comes in. So The Big Leap really highlights those different areas of how we can combat that and be more receiving and open to having that success in our lives, because we can. We just sometimes tell ourselves otherwise. So
Definitely. Those three good ones.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get onto them.
Yeah.
And absolute listeners, definitely. Final sort of question. If all your blogs, all your videos, all your website, every bit of great information that you've had out there got wiped out, and you only were allowed three bits of advice for the listeners to, you know, all the people you work with to improve their wellness and health, what would they be?
Yeah, I love that. That's a great question. Number one, which I would say has probably only evolved over the last probably a couple of months, is just that trust in yourself. And I guess it's only been through trusting myself that I've got to this point where, you know what, anything else doesn't really matter. Like, as long as you feel really good within yourself, doesn't matter what happens, you know within yourself that you can overcome whatever obstacles are thrown your way. It doesn't matter what people say to you or what sort of criticism you get, or yeah, all those things that you think that are external to you. As soon as you have that trust in yourself, you can essentially accomplish anything.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's one of the key things that I would love to pass on. The second thing would be that we really do sometimes constrict ourselves when it comes to our whole mindset. Yep. And I think it's just really about dreaming big. So like my three key, I guess, messages on my website is dream big, live well and feel good. So for me, that whole dream big thing is about not necessarily having those big goals, but knowing that anything is possible. So if you did want to just set yourself up on a farm and, you know, have this beautiful, you know, land and grow your own fruit and veg, whatever, that's your absolute ultimate dream. Like, you go for it. It doesn't mean you have to think, oh, dreaming big, I have to have success and fame and all of these other things. It's like, dream big in your own way and yeah, create that ideal version of what that dreaming big looks like for you. So that would be the second one. And then I guess that whole coming back to that feeling good. If something's not feeling good, stop or change it or course correct. Like, you can change your mind. And, you know, if we're not feeling good in our day-to-day, it's really, that's all we want to do. We just want to feel good and wake up and know that we're really enjoying ourselves and having a bit of fun, because life isn't meant to be that serious. So,
yeah,
I think it's just all about having fun, dreaming big, and, yeah, really trusting yourself.
Love it. Awesome three. Now, if listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way? Is it through your website?
Absolutely. So through my website, it's www.healthyyouhappyme.com. I'm also over on Instagram at the same handle, healthyyouhappyme, and Facebook as well. So jump on over and say g'day, and always love having conversations with people. So
yeah. Awesome. Get on that. Healthyyouhappyme. Fantastic.
That's the one.
So, basically, we're coming to the end. I really want to acknowledge you for coming on this show. I'm really excited to have you down in Melbourne in the put on the sunshine for you, which is nice. And all the amazing work you're doing. You're helping so many people. I really hope you continue that and really go forward. And so many people are going to be empowered by the work you're doing. So I really hope you keep smashing it.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks so much for having me. It's been a great convo. And here's to more awesome podcasts.
Absolutely. We'll have to get you back on sometime soon.
Sounds great.
Cheers. So there you have it. Episode 27 with Tash Sciotto, and isn't she an absolute star? I was stoked to have her on, and I really got a lot of that myself, actually, and I listened back to it a couple of times. So, guys, tell me what you think. Really jump on my Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Elite Team Leadership, and really let me know. You know, give her a shout out, give Tash a shout out, and really, you know, give us some feedback. I'd love to hear from you. Love to see what you think. Tell me how much you loved it and what you got out of it. I'm super impressed, for starters, guys, for listening to stuff. Obviously, if you are, you're really looking at, you know, taking yourself to the next level in performance. And I'm, you know, super stoked that you're here. And that's what it's all about, guys. Really lifting us up and really going to your new heights that you haven't been yet, and really pushing yourself outside your comfort zone. So, guys, stoked that you're here. I was stoked to have Tash on the show, and I love to hear from you. Nothing better, and always here to help out and try and help you guys improve. If you have any queries as well, so
jump on, guys. Look forward to hearing from you. Also, guys, would love if you get the chance, give this podcast a review. Jump on, just give us a review and let us know. You know, I'd love your honest feedback and it'd be super. And if you love it and great, then go ahead and jump on and do that. It'd be super for us. But that really helps us, you know, really get some up the rankings and get us even more exciting and super guests for you guys to learn from. So hope you enjoyed it, episode 27, and I'll see you next week with another super guest, which actually now think about it, I'm really excited as well. So get on it, guys, and we'll see you soon. Cheers.